The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Ben Wright Human, author of the webcomics Cost Pain and the Letters of the Devil, and you are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 216. I hope you're doing well out there. Thank you for joining me on this episode. I'd like to talk real quickly about the last episode, just for a short moment, if I may. On the last episode of the PVD Cast, number 215, I was joined by Kelsey D. Crawford. Kelsey and I talked about a lot of different things, including some of the projects Kelsey has going on. One of those that we talked about was the fact that Kelsey was the editor of the Indie Comics Hub. And many of you maybe saw on Twitter and on Facebook that I posted that there's some sad news. Upon getting the episode all set to go and getting ready to launch it and publish it last week, Kelsey contacted me to let me know that Indie Comics Hub will be shutting down just for a variety of different reasons, and I'm not going to go into them. It's unfortunate when that happens because, you know, if you listen to that episode, you know that Kelsey's really a big advocate for independent comics, and that was a way to kind of let everybody know about some of those great independent comics. And you know me, I'm all about being independent and doing your own thing. And you know, you don't have to have a $1 million corporation behind you funding your dreams and your hopes and your aspirations and your goals and your projects and whatnot. So it's kind of sad to hear that, but I felt like it deserved a little mention here on episode 216. Now, if I may, I'd like to talk about who is joining me on this episode. There's a gentleman by the name of Matt Fry. Matt Fry is a cartoonist, a creator, an author. And he published a book called What I Learned About Depression and Anxiety. And you're going to hear about why Matt decided to take all these kind of one-off sketches and put them together in a book with the hope of maybe giving folks an opportunity to have some vocabulary terms, to have some way to express to someone, whether it's a therapist or it's a teacher, it's a colleague, it's a friend, it's a family member, how they're feeling when they're hit with depression and anxiety. And we're also going to talk about his other projects too. He's got a really interesting graphic novel called Blackheart. Just started Spastastic Studios. And he's got some other projects coming down the pike. So we're going to talk all about that. It should be one really insightful episode. And I'm really proud to bring it to you all. But before we get to my conversation with Matt Fry, I need to let you know about our great sponsor of this episode. And that, of course, is the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking about the Golden Era, Silver Era, Bronze, Modern. They also have graphic novels, they have toys, they have comic book supplies, they have tons of back issues and various other collectibles. So you need to stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and the other fine folks over there. Or you could check them out online at wgcomics.com. And guess what? They're also on Facebook, just like your Nana. And that is simply search for WG Comics in Facebook and you will find them and you can get all the details about the store. I didn't really think that Nana joke was going to make me laugh, but it did. But anywho, want to thank WG Comics for being a great sponsor. And if you do stop over the store or interact with them via the internet, let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Matt Fry. ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the PVD cast. And I am joined this afternoon by author, comic book creator, Mr. Matt Fry. Matt, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So you have a lot of different projects that we're going to talk about, but the first one that I'd like to highlight is that you are the author and illustrator of a book called What I Learned About Depression and Anxiety. So would you like to tell the listeners what this book is all about?
Right. So the book itself was kind of my own little therapy project. After I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety, I started in my depressive states, I would draw to try and get myself out of it. As I connected those thoughts and feelings to these simple illustrations, it was pointed out to me, because I didn't see it at first, that maybe these could help people and help people relate and maybe understand what's happening. So I went to it and I tried to create anecdotal situations, feelings, descriptors that people could use to describe to someone, like a therapist, counselor, teacher, whoever can help someone get help, just describe to them how they're feeling or how they connect to something that's in the book.
So if I may just ask a question about your own experience. How has depression and anxiety impacted you? Maybe in the past or even currently?
Well, the huge driving factor for me trying to give people ways to talk about their depression is because growing up, even from an early age, I didn't understand how to describe to people that I wanted to disappear. I didn't know what that meant when I was like 8 years mm-hmm. old. But I just didn't want to be there anymore. You know, we're not built or equipped to talk about stuff like that because it's not quote unquote normal. So how do you describe something that you don't hear people talk about a lot? I mean, now we're getting that conversation going in a mainstream way and it's becoming acceptable to talk about it. But, you know, there's still people who don't have the words to put to their feelings. So I took my experience of not knowing what was happening to me, or why I was feeling that way, not knowing why I couldn't get out of bed, why I couldn't go to class, why just leaving the house made me feel jittery. I didn't know how to describe those things or why they were happening, so I put them in the book.
Have you received any feedback on it from people who maybe have picked it up and contacted you and go, oh my God, thank you for doing this, or I identify with this particular comic that's in there? Because as I think we should explain, it's pretty much kind of like its own little mini comic within each page, correct? Is that how it's set up?
Yeah, pretty much. So the illustrations came first. And they had their own little words on them. They were meant to me to be like one-off illustrations, but I added the text later to give context for people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it feels a little bit like gloating. But I'm very humbled by the people that have come up to me and said that they really related to something, or they thought I explained something so much better than like the clinical books that you can find. It's approachable, someone told me. That's been a big force for me, is I wanted it to be accessible to people. I've had a lot of people tell me that they related, they felt a connection to it, or they wanted to buy the book to help someone. And it's, like I said, it's just been very humbling.
So where can folks pick up a copy real quick?
So I'm out of my own stock. They're all on shelves right now, but hopefully we're fixing that soon. Depending on where your listeners are, if they're up in Cleveland, you can find copies at Fireside Bookshop and Max Bax Books. In Central Ohio, you can find them at Secret Identity Comics, Prologue Bookshop, and Gramercy Books. and in Cincinnati at The Bookshelf.
So does it feel good to be out of your own stock? Like, you know, again, I know you say you don't want to gloat. You don't, you know, you still want to remain humble, but it's got to be kind of fulfilling that you're getting this book out into the hands of those folks who need it. And it's got to give you at least a little bit of fulfillment, right?
I mean, I feel, yes, humbled. I just hope it's helping people. And I mm-hmm. don't think people would pick it up if they didn't feel something, feel it would help.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm hoping that the fact that it's getting out there means more people are finding those opportunities to seek help or just be able to put a name to things. Sometimes that's powerful in itself.
Well, my final question before we move on to talk about some of your other projects, and it is related, but it's kind of maybe one that might put you on the spot, to be honest, Matt. Why do you think America ranks number one when it comes to dealing with dealing with mental health issues? I mean, you see all the statistics. I mean, I think that the Columbus area supposedly ranked 9th, you know, on a recent poll about people that are dealing with mental health issues. I know it's 1 in 5 Americans deal with some type of a mental health issue. So why do you think we have such sharp numbers here in America as opposed to maybe some other countries?
That's an excellent question. One can only speculate. I don't claim to have all the answers, but I think in my own experience, you know, we were given this narrative. You go to school, you do well, you go to college, you get the job, right? That's right. The sales pitch you get. And then so many people of us come out of that system in debt. We can't afford anything. And then we find that there's not the jobs that we were looking for out there. So we have to settle for something that we weren't wanting to do. Like I ended up working at a retail chain for a very long time. And I thought to myself, this isn't what I went to school for. This isn't what I had to pay $70,000 to go do. I mm-hmm. could have just done this. So I think there's a bit of disillusionment with the traditional streamlined story we're given from our childhood, and we don't push people to follow dreams much anymore. It's go out there, get a job, work until you die. And I feel like that gives people a little less hope. And I think that's why we're seeing it more. Plus, I mean, there's a good possibility it's always been there. But like yeah. I said, we didn't talk about it, especially men. It was kind of taboo for men to talk about their feelings for a very long time. And that's why male suicide rates are pretty high. So now it may not be that we're getting more depressed people, just more open about the fact that it exists.
And you know what? That's a great point and a valid point. One that, I'll be honest, Matt, as I thought of my own answer to this question, I never thought that maybe it's always been there. And just, you know, because in the, you know, I think back to my own family that, you know, in the 50s and 60s, you didn't talk about your feelings. You know, something terrible happened. You suppressed it, or you dealt with it in a horrible way, you know, whether drinking or something else, you know. And I think that maybe is a very valid point.
Yeah. And that's a sad thing to hear about. Like you start talking to people that are a little bit older, and they talk about how they felt and how they had to deal with it. And you think, I mean, I have it better now because it's quote unquote socially acceptable for me to talk about these things, for me to write a book about it and go on podcasts and TV shows and say, yeah, depression's here and we can talk about it and open up these narratives. But back then, there's no pressure valve like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's switch gears if we can. And let's talk about Spastastic Studios. You're the man behind it, which is, I guess, best described as kind of a dark humor webcomic. So when did you start this webcomic, and what made you decide to start this webcomic?
So the webcomic has a very long history. I started it when I was in high school, actually. It wasn't a webcomic. It was just a little comic strip I put in, you know, those little planners they used to mm-hmm. make you use.
Mm-hmm.
I only used mine to doodle in. So I created Mr. Spaz, who was I pretended he was a little Pac-Man ghost who got like unemployed. So
he was a lousy ghost, so he got canned. Is that what you're saying?
More or less, yeah. I had a whole backstory for this almost irrelevant character. He was like an accountant at Pac-Co, which is like his boss was Pac-Man, and he just got let go. Oh man, I was going to make a full length comic about his backstory, but then I completely backed out of that. But anyway, I started it when I was in high school. I ended up taking a 10-year break from anything art related. So I just picked it back up about 2 years ago. And I then put Spaz in a webcomic, and I think you picked up on it. The tagline for that was a dark comic for mostly terrible people.
Okay.
Like, you laugh at stuff that you really probably shouldn't. And that was the whole idea behind Mr. Spaz, is like, I tortured this poor little guy and people got their kicks off of it. And I found the whole thing hilarious. The fact that he's just this innocent looking dude who's trying to get by. Bad stuff happens to him, and then we all laugh about it. And I made a couple meta level jokes about it in the webcomic. Once the traffic died down on that a lot and I got, you know, disheartened from continuing the webcomic itself, I moved into other artistic ventures. I did a lot more writing and a lot of one-off art, which is how we came up with Blackheart, the comic we released in July of 2019.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So can you give a brief summary to the listeners of what Blackheart is all about?
Oh boy. So first of all, Blackheart is it's almost like a mini graphic novel. There's no dialogue or anything like that. It's a story told in journal entries with visual aid. So it's about a doctor who experiences, you know, lost love, jealousy, anger, and eventually a little bit of cannibalism.
How did cannibalism fit into this original plot? Like, can you talk to me about how you go, oh yeah, we're going to throw in some cannibalism. Like, did you pick up inspiration from another story or from another character or something along those lines?
So because this was actually a short story I wrote, when I write something like that, if I create a space for a character, I try and put myself in the character's shoes and naturally evolve what happens based off of what I think the character would do if I were in his shoes. It just came about. I don't know. I can't tell you how I got to cannibalism, honestly. It makes sense contextually. I'll put it that way.
Okay. There you go.
He explains it.
Okay. So with this project, did you enjoy just kind of being the writer? Because you have an artist, if I remember correctly, Josh Simpson, correct?
Yeah. Man, he is just a talented artist. If I looked at that comic, I could only see his illustrations on it, because he has such a way with his characters and the way he draws that it was the perfect fit. And we met through the retail job I talked about. And, you know, I had just a short story. I had written it 4 years before I even met him. And I'm like, what if we put some illustrations on this? And then he started, you know, playing around with it. I'm like, well, what if we made a whole comic? And I probably threw a lot of stress on him, but he handled it like a champ and produced an amazing product. So in terms of being the writer for that project, it was kind of an afterthought. because I literally, and this is for anyone listening, this is not how you do like work with an artist.
Thank you for that disclaimer, Matt.
So I had the whole story and I literally just threw it on him and I said, do whatever feels right. You know, the possibilities are endless when someone does that to you, because I didn't describe to him how I saw the characters or anything. I gave him a vague time period and that was it. For him to come up with all that based off of just what I handed him is an amazing, monumental task. And like I said, don't do that to someone.
So Josh is a local guy then? He is local to Central Ohio?
Yep, Columbus, Ohio. We are working on another project together. I pretty much just included him in Spastastic. He's been there for the inception of it. But yeah, we have another comic series in the works that he is also illustrating. And you'll also see his art, his one-off stuff, pop up on Spastastic Instagram once in a while.
Cool. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about the new project, or is it still in its like infancy and you don't want to reveal anything just yet?
Well, the story is written. We got the layouts done. So we're heavy into production right now, but it's going to debut at the Gem City Comic Con in Dayton, April 25th.
Oh, so cool.
What I can tell you now is it is slightly in the future. It involves space and oligarchies.
Okay. That's a good teaser. I like that. if we can, let's go back to, Spastastic Studios, because I had a couple of questions about some really interesting characters that when I was researching, I stumbled across that you have created or had your hands had a little input into. Can you talk a little bit about Murderlock?
Oh man, that's a little bit of a deep cut.
But, okay.
So in Spaz, the comic Mr. Spaz, the one I abandoned, he was actually going to be a TV series that the characters enjoyed. So Murderlock was kind of like was it Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or some variation?
Okay.
So he's both serial killer and detective. but he doesn't know what the other one's doing. He'll put it together and then he just shrugs it off. But the city lets him get away with it because he also catches other bad guys. So he's good at his job in the fact that he mitigates collateral damage, I guess.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Matt for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, posters, even back issues. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pull system and you'll even get 20% off all pre-ordered comics. That's the deal of a century, people. So check them out online at wgcomics.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/wgcomics. Or better yet, jump on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. No matter how you interact with them, let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, on the PVD cast. So how about another character, Selena Imogen?
Oh, okay. That one was much more recent. It was actually just an experiment to get back into the anime style I tried out when I was in high school. But I put a whole story around her. She's going to be the protagonist in a manga series I'll be creating probably towards the end of 2020. I'm working out the rest of the character designs right now. But that one, that's a pet project. So that's going to be written by me and illustrated by me.
Are you a fan, or were you a fan of anime?
Oh man, way too hard into anime, especially when I was in high school, and it only got worse.
What's your favorite
problem?
No, it's not. It's not. What's your favorite anime?
Oh gosh. Top has to be Cowboy Bebop. I think they just did such an amazing job with storytelling and character development. It's really what I imagined as the pinnacle of like anime. Close second would be Trigun, and a more recent favorite is Carolyn Tuesday on Netflix.
Okay, I've heard of Carolyn Tuesday. I mean, I've heard of all of those, but I've heard from some folks that that's really, really good. Carolyn Tuesday.
Oh yeah, if you're a fan of music, they mm-hmm. actually hired professional musicians to create the songs in it. Not like they do sometimes where they get the voice actors to sing pop-esque songs. Mm-hmm. They actually got musicians to come in and track all this stuff, so it's professional quality.
All right. Well, with Spaztastic Studios, do you have a publishing schedule? Because I thought I read where new comics are posted a couple of times a week. Is that correct?
Oh, that went by the wayside. So we're trying to get into a release schedule. I want to actually revive the webcomic so that that'll have its own release schedule. We're doing the physical comics. Blackheart was a one-off. It was, you know, based off of a short story, but the new project is a serialized one. So that will hopefully and theoretically have a release every month or two until its completion.
Cool. Well, let's talk real quick. I still have some more questions for you, Matt, but let's talk about where folks can find these comics for Spaztastic Studios. So you want to plug website, Facebook, other social media?
All right. So I'm going to run through another brick and mortar list where you can find Blackheart.
Okay.
And then we'll go to all the online stuff. So in Cleveland, I made the 71 trip. So that's why all that's kind of diagonally across Ohio. So Imaginary Worlds in Cleveland has Blackheart. In Central Ohio, Hobby Central and Secret Identity Comics have copies of Blackheart. Laughing Ogre in Columbus, Superfly Comics in Yellow Springs, and Mavericks Comics and Mavericks Comics and More down in Cincinnati area are all the brick and mortar places you can find Blackheart still. But for anything else related to Spaztastic, or any of the comics or projects we're working on, you can find us at spaz-tastic.com or on Instagram at Spaztastic Studios, all one word, or on Twitter at spazcomic and Facebook. I think that was just Spaztastic.
All right, there you go. So let's talk a little bit about you, Matt. Were you always creative as a kid?
Yeah. I have to credit my mom for that one. She showed us the love of drawing and kind of artsy, craftsy stuff growing up. And me and a couple of my friends tried to make a little stick figure comic when we were kids. And it was always a lot of fun telling stories, making silly illustrations. That's just always where my heart was, even when I tried to have a musical career, you know, our songs told stories, and that's always been something very near and dear to me.
What were some of your favorite comics or favorite comic books growing up as a kid?
Oh, so that's the weird thing. I never got into comics very much when I was a kid.
Okay.
I just never related very much to superheroes. Like I'll enjoy the movies and such, but I could never get deep into Spider-Man or Superman or Batman. I mean, I enjoyed all those things like in a cartoon fashion growing up, but it wasn't until recently I started getting into comics again. And even then I avoid Marvel and DC, and I mostly stick to like Image Comics because they have semi more relatable, I guess, storylines to them.
Sure, and they have a lot of really unusual and original stories too, I think. And I think that Image does a great job of presenting that, as well as many other independent or smaller publishers.
Yeah. The one Image comic that really stuck out to me was Unnatural by Mirka Andolfo. Mm-hmm. The illustrations were just beautiful. The storytelling was amazing. And it had kind of like socio-political backing to it. Mm-hmm. And you can, it's still like a relevant story to today. I suggest that to anybody. It, full disclaimer, it does have a slight bit of nudity in it, but it's mostly tasteful.
So, if I may ask, and this is sometimes a very challenging question for my guests, who are some of the inspirations you have for writing or creating?
Oh man, writing is much easier. I was a huge fan of the Forgotten Realms, R.A. Salvatore written books.
Okay.
He was just an amazing author that I looked up to. Of course, I read, you know, The Hobbit. So those were some of my earlier like influences, like that really got my mind working in storytelling. More recently, I before I started writing seriously, I read a lot of David Dalglish, and I'm currently into Brandon Sanderson right now. Amazing authors. The illustration part's a little more difficult. I have people I look up to, but I don't know how much they influenced everything. Of course, I like Jazza on YouTube, Draw with Jazza. He does an amazing job of making drawing more accessible to people and kind of defining the intricacies of how to draw. There's also Mikey Mega Mega, who uses semi not safe for work illustrations, but uses those to draw people in and then teaches them real fundamental drawing. So he kind of just hides that in there, which is very clever, and he's very intelligent about the way he approaches things. And those were the two guys that actually kind of brought me back into drawing, thinking, you know, maybe I can give it a shot again. And here I am.
So you talked a little bit about music, and you said that, you know, music was very important to you as well. Do you play any instruments?
I play a little bit of everything. The primary time I spent making music, I played bass. I was in a couple of metal bands, an alternative rock band for a little while. Mainly now I settle for just listening to the local bands, trying to support people that are playing. Spastastic Studios taking up a lot of my time, so I can't go venture forth into the world of musicianship again, but it doesn't stop me from appreciating it and trying to support people that are really trying to make that their focus.
Well, I'll put you on the spot. Who are some of those bands that listeners should keep an eye out or an ear out for?
Oh man, there's a lot of great ones coming from Columbus recently. The Admiralty, Dread Engine, Odd Promise, The Turbos, Adamira, Grasmere. Oh, I know I'm going to forget some. Shores of Elysium, I think they're still operating mostly.
So if you're out and about in Central Ohio and you see one of these bands on the bill, you should go and see them.
Oh, absolutely. You're in for a treat for any one of those guys. It's a wide range of music. You have all the way, the Turbos are kind of 70s, 80s rock influenced. And then you have all the way to Shores of Elysium, which is like death metal. Just really intricate guitars and blast beats. So it's a wide range there. Google any of them, follow them, listen to their music. They're all great people. I've met quite a few of them and they're great musicians.
All right. Well, as we start to wrap things up, Matt, you mentioned one appearance that's coming up soon for you. That, of course, is Gem City Con. Do you have any other appearances on tap for 2020?
Yeah, so Gem City runs April 25th and 26th, so we'll be there both days. And then we have Tor Gaming Expo, May 30th. That's all we have planned so far. That doesn't mean that's the end of the list. We just we jam-packed our schedule with production and writing and things like that. So, but we do want to make sure we get out there and be able to meet some of you. And of course, if you find me out there, feel free to talk to me about the book. It's not mutually exclusive. I will have copies with me. We'll have copies of the comic. And we might have another comic creator joining Spastastic Studios with a different series. And that might debut in or at the Torg Gaming Expo.
Right, which Torg Gaming Expo is here in Columbus, by the way. And that is May 30th. It's going to be a heck of a show, as Gem City is always a heck of a show, too. So gotta give some love to the folks with Gem City as well.
It'll be my first time there, so I'm very excited. Their admission process is very easy. They're very open in communication, and I look forward to it.
There you go. Well, Matt, with that, we're getting up to our time limit here. So is there anything else you want to tell the listeners real quick?
Just keep up to date with us. If you sign up for the newsletter on the website, we don't blast you with a bunch of useless information. It's usually when stuff is back in stock, or if we have a new project coming out, where to find it, timeline, stuff like that. Soon, the book will actually be in the hands of a small publisher, so it will be available worldwide in the next month or so.
Oh, that's excellent news.
I thought so too.
Well, Matt, again, congratulations on that little bit of news, and thank you for coming on the PVD cast. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so honored to be on here, honestly.
Well, it's been a pleasure and a privilege. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I will be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Matt Fry, talking about his various projects, including his book, What I Learned About Depression and Anxiety. If I may just give my own personal two cents worth, I think that Matt has created a very powerful and helpful tool for many people, especially those dealing with depression and anxiety issues. So definitely, if you see Matt out and about, pick up a book, say hello. I know he'll appreciate it. And with that, I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you choose to do so. You can shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. All you got to do is search for @PVDcast. And of course, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter page is @PVDMVP. And while you're thinking about interacting with me, you might think about somebody you know that would like this podcast. So please tell them all the different places where they can find it. First off, pvdcast.com is probably the easiest because it's the online home of yours truly, but it's also available through iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, iHeartRadio app, radio.com app, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network. Basically, it's available pretty much at every single podcast platform. Just search for PVDcast. For some reason, sometimes you have to put my name after it. PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. And as you are listening, please make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And I'd love to get more 5-star ratings, please. It helps out the algorithm and moves the PVDcast up the charts, so to speak. With that being said, I think it's time for me to jet on out of here. So, thanks for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.